If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. I want to apologize, you know, to the Trump administration. You know, I've been very critical of them, but it's come to my attention that they actually did sort of a real important thing recently. They had like a They got a lot of our first responders and our military and, you know, people that had sacrificed for the country. And, you know, President Trump owns this country club, Mar-a-Lago, right, where he lives part of the year. And he decided a really good use of his property and his wealth would be to kind of bring in people that had made the ultimate sacrifice, like some of their families. And, you know, he put together kind of a family friendly Mar-a-Lago day for people that don't have a lot. And, you know, financially, they have other things, but they're hurting, like many Americans are hurting. And I thought it was a really classy use of Mar-a-Lago. I thought it was actually really cool. You know, you can be black-pilled by the actions of this administration, you know. But when they do something that's really selfless and it's kind of a great example to other people of charity, you know. So let's take a look at this. Again, this is a nice family day for the United States military at Mar-a-Lago. Let's take a look.
And the way you look
you have it, folks. That is the first responder U.S. military family day at Mar-a-Lago. I thought that was a really great. Didn't a furry kill their friend, by the way? Does anyone look at the optics of this? I don't want to hear anything about Hollywood, by the way, anymore from anybody. I don't want to hear about Hollywood and this party and that party. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Didn't a furry supposedly shoot Charlie Kirk or like the lover of the furry? Isn't that? That was like days ago, like months ago, just the optics of it. And I'm not a prude. Have parties, dress up in a costume, whatever. But don't you think that somebody would say, you know what? Americans are broke. Having a eyes wide shut, and I'm sure they weren't fucking at that party because they're all octogenaires. They're like elderly. Maybe they were. But there were like old people wearing dog masks and 18th century ball gowns. Don't you think if we fill the country club that the president owns with people in dog masks and 18th century ball gowns during a period of economic hardship. Also, someone who kind of was into similar things shot our friend. They shot that guy. Do you think that there was any optics discussion there? You think anyone sat down and went, you know, this isn't ideal to have this going on? It just seems like the point of everything is to demoralize you in a way that it's not even debatable anymore how insane this is. And that nobody would have stopped and said, you know, that woman just caught a bullet to the face, a few bullets. We got riots. We got protests. People in Iran are protesting and, you know, they're getting mowed down. So I hear. And I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just not there. I get it. So we've got all that happening. Russia's ready to like nuke Europe, by the way. Like there, Russia feels that the Western powers have aligned against them, which is true. I'm not holding water for Russia. I'm just telling you what's happening. Russia now feels like, If the U.S. is going to go and knock over Venezuela and take the oil and maybe knock over Iran and help the Ukraine sponsor attacks on Russian infrastructure and seize an oil tanker bound for Russia, I think Russia's now getting to the point where they're like, they don't see a way out of this without using, and we hope this isn't true, like crazy weapons, nuclear weapons. And in the midst of all of this, someone decided that it would be a good idea to do this. Play that again. Play it from right there again. Someone decided it would be a good idea to do this. It's literally the end of the world. It is literally the end of the world. I mean, and somebody said, let's do. Now, I don't give a fuck what this was for. Some dog rescue, some charity. Who gives a fuck what it was for? Stop with the charities. They're all fake. They're all fake. Will you stop? Whatever chat, this is an excuse to put on dog masks and get drunk. And God only knows what else. But this whole idea that like everybody showing up to Mar-a-Lago is doing charity is hilarious. They're just givers over there. They can't stop giving. That's why they're in Mar-a-Lago. They can't stop giving. I mean, it's like an absurdity. And the Kirk thing. The idea, and I'm not saying that these people are furries or that all furries are bad or whatever, but the idea that the furry's boyfriend shot your friend and then you're in the dog mask. 3 months later, you're in a dog mat, the furry's boyfriend, so we are to believe, and I'll believe it when the evidence comes out. But no one said, you know, the furry that was banging the guy that shot Charlie, that, you know, like maybe we shouldn't do the dog party. It's absolutely psychotic. It's 1,000% psychotic. And it's a charity event. Can you find out what charity this was for? What charity this was for? My favorite new thing is it was for the American Humane Society's 15th annual Hero Dog Awards Gala. Hero Dog Awards Gala. So apparently, can you look this up? The Hero Dog Awards. Okay. Make it a little bigger so I can read it here in my furry mask. For 15 years, our nationwide competition has invited dog owners across America to nominate their canine heroes. Whether they're service dogs helping people with disabilities, again, largely fake, outside of a few blind, the dogs that are helping the blind, seeing eye dog, the service dog phenomenon is a largely fake phenomenon. It just is what it is. Therapy dogs bringing comfort to those in need, again, also largely fake. Now, there's some great dogs in the hospital and stuff, but let's be honest. It's usually some bitch in yoga pants on an American Airlines flight with a Pomeranian. It's fake. Or family pets who have shown unexpected bravery. So I guess these are hero dogs that they're celebrating at Mar-a-Lago. I guess some of these dogs. Okay, so here are the 2025 hero is Sergeant Bo. He provides comfort. So let's go. All right, Sergeant Bo. So Sergeant Bo has provided comfort. What kind of breed is he? Go up. Let's see what kind of breed Bo is. He's a cutie. Do we know what kind of breed he is? Mixed breed. He's a mixed breed. Okay. So now Sergeant Bo, let's read this here. Sergeant Bo is a dedicated therapy dog who would spend time with the IDF. After the IDF had lit Palestinians on fire, many of them expressed pangs of regret. Bo cheered them up, and just his presence reminded them that everything they were doing was incredibly necessary, and in fact, they should do it more frequently and more efficiently. Bo offered comfort to countless IDF soldiers who felt regret after the things that they had to do. In addition to trauma support, he helped de-escalate children in crisis and offered comfort to everyone he met. So that's Sergeant Bo. Let's see who else is here. Who is the runner-up this year? Who's the runner-up? Oh, he's a finalist. Donald. Superpower, intuitive guidance and life-saving protection. Donald is from Fort Myers, Florida. Donald is a dedicated guide dog who helped Pam Bondi by eating some of the Epstein files she promised to release to the general public. Donald ate the files and then was taken to the vet to have his stomach pumped. Interesting. I didn't know that was. By the way, this is how fake this is. Obviously, I'm kidding around with the IDF in this. But can I actually read? The real one is funnier than what I actually am saying. This is how fake this is. What moment best shows Donald the dog's heroism? Sometimes being a hero means knowing when not to obey. Donald once suddenly stopped and refused to move forward, blocking his handler from stepping ahead. Only then did they realize the sidewalk had been torn up by construction. His smart, instinctive decision to disobey kept his handler out of harm's way. Do you realize how fake this is? Apparently, this dog stopped this bitch from tripping over a traffic cone. Get this the fuck out of here. Enough. But I mean, God, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Just watching all of it is truly unbelievable. It's actually funny. Here's the other thing. A lot of people are criticizing ICE. I've done it myself. But this gives you a little hope. 21-year-old anti-ICE protester shot in the face with non-lethal round and blinded in one eye. That is an improvement. Sorry. It is an improvement. 2 weeks ago, they shot a mother in the face 3 times in her car. Now, they have only blinded someone in one eye. I mean, the week after this, they're only going to break a few ribs. It's getting better. I think it's getting better. We have to see this as kind of a de-escalation. They shot that woman 3 times in the face. And now they shot someone in the face. They like doing that. They do like shooting in the face. But he only lost one eye because this was non-lethal. Let's see more of this here. Over the phone from the hospital, he says an officer shot a non-lethal weapon point blank at his face. He will never again regain his vision. Only in one eye. Doctors tell him. He insists he was not being violent and that he was holding a loudspeaker when he was grabbed. Make this a little bigger, please. The other protester who spoke at a press conference echoes that. OC supervisors who were at an earlier part of the protest Friday say they are disturbed by the video of the exchange. Do we have a video here? Can we maybe look for the video? But by the way, kudos to ICE for not killing the guy and not shooting him 3 times in the face. I do think that we have to give credit where credit is due. We must give credit where credit is due. Play a little bit of this news story, actually, because we'll get the video from this. And by the way, we're going to play Rene Good's stepfather after this on CNN saying he doesn't really blame ICE for shooting her 3 times in the face. So that, and by the way, that generation of people, no matter that generation of people is they whatever you want to call them, the boomers, whatever, they are this is what they want. They want their kids to get shot in the face by the cops, and they are glad to go on television justified. But let's watch this ICE, the guy with the one eye first.
Been blinded after being shot during a local rally against the shooting death of Rene Good in Minnesota. That Friday night in Santa Ana turned violent.
Move that back. Let's just see that video again. They are being violent, the protesters.
Being shot during a local rally against the shooting death of Rene Good in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, they are being violent. They're being violent. Well, you lost an eye. I mean, that's the thing here, is that if you're going to attack federal law enforcement, you're going to run towards federal law enforcement, they're going to respond, you're going to get shot. But to their credit, you just lost an eye. You just lost an eye. And I've criticized ICE, I'll continue to. But again, if you don't want to lose an eye, you cannot run towards federal law enforcement, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with what they're doing or not, you just got to be prepared to potentially lose an eye or more. You just have to be prepared. This is the reality of what happens. They have guns. They are working for the federal government. You may not agree with them. You may think you're completely justified in your actions. But if you go and behave the way that guy behaved, what I just saw, you're going to get potentially killed. You can't have a civil society. You can vote people out. You can change policies. You can strike. You can do anything you want. But if you engage in violence, the state is going to engage in violence back. You're not going to beat the state. The state has the military. The state has the National Guard. And by the way, the state has drones. They have the sonic weapon. They have the Havana Syndrome weapon. They have all these weapons that you don't even know about. Electro EMP, electromagnetic pulse things. the things that they can do. And also, it's just you can't live in vigilante chaos. So if you're out there in the streets doing stuff like this, you can expect that something similar to this is going to happen. But here we go. This is Renee Good's stepfather. Now, by the way, here's the thing. Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to hear this, and people are not going to like this. Listen up. Are you listening? Get close. No step parent loves you. They don't. No step parent loves you. They don't. They like you. They tolerate you. They put up with you. You did not come out of them. You are not their child. And this is her father-in-law, right? Okay, this is her father-in-law, former father-in-law. Similar, not quite step relationship. I was wrong about that. But father-in-law, not super close. But he's out there going, this is how my family would react if I was shot in the face. They'd go, well, you know, we don't blame anyone. But let's listen to this guy. This is Renee Good's father-in-law reacting to her getting shot three times in the face.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Good. Stop it right there. And I like it. Move on. Erica Kirk style. That is Erica Kirk coded. That's vibes. I'm not blaming. Run it back again. Let me just hear that first sentence. Give it to me, Daddy.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Damn right you're not. Get him a couple of sparklers and a big entrance somewhere. Get him at TPUSA's next event. He's not blaming anyone. This is what we need. We need more of this. We need more people who can watch their daughter-in-law get shot multiple times in the face and not be that. He doesn't seem that bothered by it. And because that's the kind of the country that we've created. We're a country of feds who really, we love, you know, this idea of the big bad. Oh, the American, the big bad machine. We're going to get you. And they get your daughter-in-law. They're not always going to get brown people in other countries. Sometimes they're going to get your daughter-in-law, and they like it. He doesn't mind it. This is the country that we have now. It's just people that are kind of like, you know, conditioned to go with the feds. It's just what it is. They're conditioned to not really, he's not really holding a grudge. I gotta hold a grudge. So let's listen a little more of him. But this guy kind of inspires me. He inspires me because I think that's how we all have to internalize everything now, is just know that we will watch the feds kill our friends and family, and that we shouldn't start blaming everyone. Like, let's not play the blame game all the time. Let's just kind of get over it quickly. Run it back again. Now we're going to listen to the whole thing, but run it back, because that first line's that heals my heart. He heals my heart. Give it to me.
I'm not blaming anybody. Right. I mean, it's a hard situation all the way around. It's hard for for everybody involved.
Correct.
I mean, the ICE agent, you know, at first, I didn't see the footage.
Right.
Where,
and you still didn't blame him.
You know,
who cares?
He was actually being ran. I mean, I seen the bump of the car hitting his leg.
Right, and she was a bitch.
And so in a flash
kind of a
like
bitch.
That,
she left
it's
son.
Hard to say how you'd react.
Of course.
From my understanding, that he had been through that before, maybe
right.
dragged or something.
Maybe he'd been through that before. Interesting.
You know, like I said,
let's give him a backstory. Let's give him a narrative.
Everybody.
It's a hard situation for everybody. That's going to be the response when you're shot in the face, by the way. That would be my parents' response. That's that generation's response. To go, it's a hard situation for everyone. I'm not kidding. When you are inevitably, and by the way, it doesn't matter who does it. Doesn't matter if the Democrats win the next election and you get shot in the face. It doesn't matter if the Donald Trump's in and you get shot in the face. That generation of people they'll just say it's a hard situation for everybody. It's a hard situation for everybody. They don't care that much. That's just not what that's never what's gotten them worked up. They don't like getting ripped off. They don't like paying too much for things. They don't like having to work too hard when they feel that they've, but they don't really mind seeing their kids, stepkids, daughter-in-law, son-in-law get shot in the face. It's not something that they've ever minded. The way these people bounce back from their children's deaths is unbelievable. It is unbelievable the way that generation of people rolls with the punches when their kids are getting shot. I mean, he's out to dinner right now. And people are coming up to him. He likes the attention a bit. They're coming up to him at the local pub and he doesn't mind the attention. That is, I know people in that age bracket, no one has dealt with the deaths of their children better than that age group. It is a nice little pin that they can put on the jacket. And I mean, I just want to hear, I'm not blaming anyone again, because it's my favorite thing. Because by the way, and that's the way a father-in-law, I mean, he's not close. She left the son. If you're a step parent, this is the way you react. And even if you are a real parent, you're going to get this from a lot of people in that generation who do like Donald Trump more than their children. A lot of my friends who are in that older age group do prefer Donald Trump to their family. And that's fine, because I know some of their families and they do suck. Trump is funnier than them, but they do prefer Trump to their family. And if Trump sends stormtroopers out into the street and you get in their way and you get whacked, you know, it's one of those things. So let's just hear this again. Take it away.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Good for you. There it is, folks. I'm not blaming anyone. Former NYC Mayor Eric Adams launches a crypto coin to fight anti-Semitism. Here's what I like about Eric Adams. He's a criminal. Eric Adams is a crook. He likes doing cocaine. He likes going to clubs. He didn't ever live in New York. I think he lived somewhere else. Like he's completely lived in Jersey. I like this about him. And I'm sad to see him go. Investors cry foul over former NYC Mayor Eric Adams' crypto launch, such an obvious rug pull. So Eric Adams is basically like, you know, supporter of Israel, good for him, God bless. He's always over there. And he decided to launch something called an NYC token, and the purpose of the token was unclear, which is like many of these. By the way, many of these, because we're just inventing money now. We're out of thin air creating the idea of value where there is none. So Eric Adams, who's like a disgraced mayor, has decided to launch a token. And the purpose of it was unclear, which is pretty obvious to most people. Beyond, quote, a vague promise by Adams that it would combat anti-Semitism, because Eric Adams just wants money, like many politicians. He just wants money. I'm sure there's a few things he believes in, but not a lot of them, and not really either. This is most politicians believe in like a few things, but not really, and not that much, not more than money. Like, you know, that's really what it comes down to. They have a few beliefs. They're like, yeah, I guess crime should stop. And we need more, business. Yeah. They have these very vague beliefs. And then some of them are hyper-specific. Like, we need a shopping center on Route 12 or whatever. You know, we're going to, depends on how local you get. But Eric Adams has launched a scam coin. Now, here it is. Let's hear this. This is a good video. This is the man who invented the NYC token. And now, where is it? Is this where he's fleeing to Israel? Or he was going to Dallas? Or he was going to Dallas. Give it up. This is let's hear Eric Adams, everyone. Getting on a commercial flight.
I would love if you punched me in the face. Okay, you can get fucked too.
All right?
Yeah, fuck you. Those
things are over.
Yeah, good. Thank God. Damn. And I can see your ugly ass face everywhere. Damn.
That's
nice. So there's Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, and a woman are getting into it at the airport. It is funny to watch him go from being the mayor of New York City to just a regular goon. He's just a regular goon, and I like him, but he's just a regular goon. And he goes, I'm going to launch a token because I need a scam. I'm no longer in the mayor's office. And is this, does he talk about the, let's watch him.
New York City.
There you go, brother. All right, take care.
I can't believe this. Thank you, sir.
Good to see you.
God bless you, man.
BuyNYCToken.com.
Yo, Eric, is that you?
Yes, it is, brother. How are you?
New York is wild, man. Just get a fucking mayor at the back of my car.
That's New York. I always say there are two types of Americans, those who live in New York and those who wish they could.
Mayor, big moment?
Yep, big moment. We're about to change the game. If you can't make it to New York, we're going to bring New York to you.
How? Is it a token?
$2, Mayor.
Cash or credit card?
You got some of the New York City token?
We'll get you some, brother. This Whoa. Thing is about to take off like crazy.
Wow, the NYC token. So Eric Adams, disgraced mayor, has launched the NYC token. A completely fake financial product designed to dupe gullible people into spending their money by, I guess, people that love New York or love Eric Adams or don't like anti-Semitism, whatever. And briefly, the market cap was set to $600 million and then it crashed. I mean, so that's how these things happen. They're fake. This is like the Hawktua coin, RIP, that girl, Hawktua. But Eric Adams, people go, it's such an obvious rug pull. What would make you think that? But by the way, so just we like to learn little lessons on the show. Here's a little lesson that we will learn from this. Disgraced people with no image concerns left are going to try to use the little bit of fame they have left to launch a scam coin. That's the game now, is to just launch a shit coin on your way out. Why not launch a shit coin on the way out, pump it up, grab as much money as you can, and then get out of here. And I respect him. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he made any money from this. I imagine the legality of these things is questionable, to say the least. But that's what you're going to see. You just see a bunch of people. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this recently. Fame has been completely democratized now, meaning that anyone, anywhere, at any time, for any reason, can get famous. So it has kind of been divorced from money. Back in the day, back in the olden times, when you got famous, it usually came with a little bit or a lot of money because you were famous for a reason. You were a basketball player. You were an actor. You were a singer. You were a football player. You were an Olympic gold medalist. You would get endorsements. You would get, you would sell out world tours. There was a mechanism by which your fame, because it was awarded supposedly on some merit-based system, there was a mechanism by which you and many others would make lots of money from you being famous because you couldn't just get famous. You couldn't just get famous. Now the Andy Warhol quote, everyone in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes is true, but it doesn't always come with money. You can be famous. You can be infamous. So you have to figure out a way to grab whatever money you can from the period of fame that you're having. Eric Adams knows that it's fleeting. He was the mayor of New York. I don't even think he did anything wrong, by the way. He accepted a few airline tickets. I mean, in the grand scheme of things with what politicians have done, Eric Adams wasn't even that dirty, but he was a little sloppy. And he was just one of those guys who was like a wrong place, wrong time. Not a super honest fella, but not the worst by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, Eric Adams. I don't even think his policies were that bad. I'm kind of an Eric Adams stan. I kind of like him. I don't do it anymore, but I loved cocaine and I like going out. I think the mayor should be doing cocaine in nightclubs, truly. So what is this one doing? Eating halal food with his fingers and letting my car get stolen? Hopefully he gets some health care with that. Hopefully some kids can go to pre-K or something. But here's the question. What does a guy like Eric Adams do? He's in the twilight of his relevance. You must launch a shitcoin. It's the only way. You must launch some type of bullshit token in order to get a little bit of money. Because fame now doesn't guarantee any money. So you gotta figure out what's the scam. So what these coins enable people to do, you can buy equity in their level of fame. Now, Trump coin, he's the president. He's the most famous person in the world and the most powerful person in the world. He launches a coin. A lot of big crypto people go into it. People buy. Eric Adams is, this is not the case. So then he goes, so he's got a real bad pitch. His pitch is like, hey, I'm the disgraced former mayor of New York. And then he goes, well, it'll combat anti-Semitism. Because they go, what the fuck is this? And he goes, well, we're going to combat anti-Semitism. And everyone goes, okay. And then the thing hits a $600 million cap. And then it crashes. But this is going to be, and already is, but watch for this. More and more and more. People are going to realize pretty quickly that their period of relevance is short. The days are growing shorter. You get less sunlight. It's getting cold. And you have to figure out how to make a little bit of money. So this is the way to do it. This is the way that people are going to do it. The Hawk 2 is like the most famous example. Now, she probably had no idea what was going on. And somebody probably came over up to her and said, here, do this, make some money. And she didn't know. I don't even, she's not the Machiavellian mastermind behind that, but she burned people. People got upset, whatever. But this is the financial system in this country is pretend. Large swaths of it are pretend. And what people like Eric Adams have realized, and many others, this is just the story that we're talking about, is that you can play these games and try to get a little something for the retirement score. That's all Eric Adams is trying to do, is get the retirement score. This is not going to only be him. They're going to launch coins. They're going to tell people it fights this and fights that. Where's the Iran token? Is that hot yet? Who's doing that? Is the free Iran coin big yet? If that ain't big, nothing's big. If people aren't putting money behind the Iran token, and maybe they're not, we're betting on all of these things. Kalshi, Polymarket, whichever one of you gives me money, I'll edit the other one out. But we're betting on all of these things. We are also betting on people, their level of fame, their continued relevance, their proximity to power. We're betting on them in this weird way because they may share our values, perhaps. And most people have kind of given up on voting. Not everyone, but a lot of people are starting to give up. So they're wondering, maybe we'll just empower people to do things that we agree with by making them uber wealthy through the launch of a coin. Perhaps that, and that's crypto feudalism, folks. That's how you get there. You get there because people sell the idea that you're part of a movement and that that movement, you're helping finance that movement and that it's just new school politics. The old school politics was the DNC and the RNC and fat cats and lunches and dog costumes and Mar-a-Lago and everyone jumping. And the new school politics will be more raw. It'll be more digital, and it'll be, hey, my coin fights anti-Semitism. I'm the disgraced former mayor of New York. That's how we get there. And then people go, well, I'm going to get behind this person and this idea in this way. I'm no longer going to cut it. I'm not going to Daughters for the American Revolution and sitting through a lunch, and they bring in Ann Coulter. I like Ann, whatever, but they bring in somebody to talk and sell their new book, and you write a nice little check and they give it to Ronnie Reagan or something. That's not what's going to happen anymore. You're going to invest in the coin that has the values that you want the world to see. You want Iran free? There'll be a coin. This is coming. And Eric Adams is just, obviously, he's sloppily trying to do it, and it's crashing and failing, like a lot of things he does, but it's an indicator of what is happening and what's going on. He knows that. Let's talk about our friend of the show, Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss has been at CBS for, I don't know, a few months maybe? Now, Barry Weiss, friend of the show, is the editor-in-chief of CBS News, and Barry is running that news company into the ground at a pace and a rate that even surprises me. I'm even shocked. It is a 1990s slapstick comedy how Barry Weiss is failing over there, by the way. It's unbelievable. Now, Barry Weiss is tasked with, you know, they brought her in because she's the internet lady from the Free Press. So she knows what people want to hear. They want to hear debates between intellectuals in Austin. She's also behind the University of Austin. You know, Austin, America's greatest city where all the free thinkers live. Yeah. Austin, and it just had to get it just took a global pandemic to make us appreciate it for 16 months, and then we all went, nah. But anyway, Austin, the free thinker home. So Barry Weiss, behind the University of Austin for the free thinkers, they take Barry Weiss from the Free Press, and they put her in there, and they go, hire people. Shake it up. Stir the pot. So she hires this guy, Tony Dokupil. And the reason she hires the guy is because Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's a really smart guy, I disagree with him on a lot of stuff, but he's really, really smart. But he goes on CBS News and he starts going, you know, these Palestinians got a raw deal. And Tony Dokupil, whatever, then says to Ta-Nehisi Coates, he pushes back and he goes, I think you're like, you know, your book could be found in some terrorist backpack. And I'm paraphrasing. That's kind of what happened. Tony Dokupil's like, hey, man, if someone read your book, That's extremist literature. That could be found like a terrorist backpack. Whatever. You can get that exchange up. Ta-Nehisi Coates and Tony Dokapole. And let's play that. Let's just make sure I'm right. I believe I am. And this is why he was upped. Tony Dokapole's upped. And then he becomes, he's now the anchor of CBS News because he stood up to Ta-Nehisi Coates on, yeah. So just try to forward it to where Tony Dokapole's talking. He's kind of the boring white guy. Okay, there he is. Here he is. Okay, let's get some volume.
What policies we believe should be in the world, which policies we don't, are actually shaped largely by writing and the stories we tell. And so I believe that writers, and particularly young writers, have so much to do in the politics and in this time when, you know, obviously we have so much conflict and there's so many quote-unquote issues to be dealt with.
Ta-Nehisi, I want to dive into the Israel-Palestine section of the book. It's the largest section of the book. Mm. And I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards and the acclaim, took the cover off the book, the publishing house goes away, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist.
No, but okay, so stop this. So, number one, this is why he gets the job. This is why Barry Weiss has chosen him. It's not because she likes his tie. So Barry Weiss chooses him in this moment. She goes, this is the guy. This is our guy to do this job. Now, by the way, I don't agree with Ta-Nehisi Coates on a lot of stuff. I think there's stuff where I would disagree with him. Because, and in his words, because I'm a white devil, I believe. But that's such a cheap argument to make, the Tony Dokapole argument. That's not even a good argument. Saying like, oh, that thing you wrote, that argument, if I took the acclaim and the awards away from your name and I took the cover off the book and said that that would be at home in the backpack of an extremist. It's such a shitty argument. It's not an argument on the merits of what was written. It's this argument where you go, so, hey, actually, if I took the book jacket off, and you're actually Hitler. It's a way to not respond to anything. So now he gets upped. Now he's the anchor at CBS because of that. Because he, like, stood up to Ta-Nehisi Coates. Blah, 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 blah. So now he's the anchor of CBS. Now, this is how dumb. And listen, I have no issue personally with Barry Weiss. I think her and her wife are lovely people. I think she's right about certain things. There are elements of the Republican Party that are clearly insane, as well as the Democratic Party. Barry's not wrong about everything. Barry has a very specific bias, which is the behavior and actions of Israel. It just is. She doesn't deny it. It's why I kind of had a falling out with her. She doesn't like me. Whatever. It's fine. She doesn't like me, which is okay. That's fine. But I do enjoy her as a person. I do enjoy her. I kind of like a fun, like charming sociopath. I kind of like it. I enjoyed her. Now, but Barry has no idea what people in America want. She has zero clue. She's not, you know, she's in these bubbles. She went out to L.A. and had all these dinners with all these billionaires, and they all thought she was great because all these billionaires are like, why is everyone mad at me? Why is my son wearing a dress or whatever, you know? And Barry's like, why is my daughter saying Z-Zer? And so Barry Weiss went to all these dinners and said, listen, billionaires, the world is wacky. And she was right. She wasn't wrong. And she was basically like, listen, they're all going to come for Israel. They're not going to support Israel. A lot of these campus lefty lunatics, who I disagree with on a lot of things, Barry was telling these people, these very wealthy people in L.A. and New York, that, by the way, wait till they get. She's basically saying at dinner, and I know people that went to these dinners, by the way. I know them. And Barry Weiss is like, yeah, you know, the Z-Zer shit's annoying and the pronoun shit and it's anti-liberal and it's this, that, but wait till they get to Israel because they're not going to support Israel. This is what Barry's doing. And it is what it is. This is her point of view. She's allowed to have it. She's 1,000% allowed to have it. I don't hate Israel. I don't even think they should give Palestinians voting rights. I don't even give a shit. to be honest. I don't give a flying fuck about what the hell's going on. I don't give a fuck about Iran either. Sorry. Throw them out if you don't like them. It has nothing to do with me. And the fact that the idea that I have to give a flying fuck, you should be standing with Iran. Shut the fuck up. Will you shut the fuck up? If they want to throw the bums who run Iran out, throw them the fuck out. But the idea that the United States of America, when people can't afford houses and they can't afford health care, spends all its fucking time talking about the Middle East and fucking Arabs and Jews and religion and the fucking temple and slaughtering the heifer and Iran and Sunnis and Shiites. Get what the fuck is going on? Truly. What the fuck is going on? That we're told, well, is Iran Sunni or Shia? What is happening? Okay? Our own country is being destroyed and it's going down the toilet. So Barry's at these dinners and she's telling all these people, listen, there's an anti-liberal movement or whatever, the intellectual dark web. Remember those days? It's when I was dressed up like Meghan McCain. To give you a marker in history. It's a little history lesson for you. I want to fuck my daddy. Remember that? The old times? So Barry's up in the Hollywood Hills and Bel Air and New York and all these places, Miami, where rich people live. And she's saying, we got a problem with the kids. And she's right. She's not wrong. They are fucking nuts, half of them. But this is where she endears herself to wealthy people like the Ellison family. And they go, she's our gal. She gets it. It's not because Barry Weiss had done anything spectacular. Barry is a smart, sharp operator who's decent in front of a camera, but really good behind it. She's not on-air talent. She tried to make herself on-air talent, and somehow the more charming one was Erica Kirk. That one. Okay, so that just gives you an idea of the on-air talent potential that Barry has, because somehow Erica Kirk, who creeps out everyone, was less creepy than Barry Weiss. Barry's not on-air talent, but Barry's very smart and sharp and not wrong about everything. So then Barry Weiss gets tapped by the Ellisons to run CBS News. They go, you got to pick new people. You got to make it interesting. You got to make it fun, okay? I know people, Barry was texting comedians like, you want to host late night shows? They're all like, you even run that? Can you even green light that? She doesn't even know. She doesn't know what the hell's going on. Okay. No, so, you know, so other than between calling CAA and trying to get me fired, between doing that, she's fucking up CBS News. Okay. And turning it into a laughing stock. So she hires Tony Dokupol. I'm not pronouncing it right. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. He now, she thinks, we'll get him in. And now he goes, so he's there. And his first week on the job, he supposedly gets teary about Miami, says news is dishonest, and he's all about Marco Rubio. He loves Rubio. So now here's the thing, right? Instead of just doing the news, Barry Weiss goes, let's not do the news. They're not even pretending to do the news. And again, this is what I kind of like about Barry, to be honest with you. I like when the gun is to your back and they go, give me your wallet. Instead of going like, what are you doing tonight? You're like, what are you going to drug me and do this? Like, let's just, Barry's not even pretending to do the news. So they have this guy heads down to Miami. Can we watch this abortion of a segment that this guy does from Miami? This is the evening news, folks, okay? This is the evening news. So this is Tony Dokupol, the evening news, and he starts crying while talking about Miami. Take a look.
In the world, why? Why South Florida and Miami?
Well, it makes me emotional. It's so
fired.
Funny. I didn't think it would catch it.
Stop it. Stop it right now. Pause it. They're all actors and they're all bad actors. I know a lot of the people in media. They're terrible actors. They wanted to be, this guy's a good looking guy. He wanted to be an actor. They all want to be actors. They're terrible actors. We're all embarrassed of them. Say what you want about these Hollywood fucks. Some of them are sociopaths. Some of them aren't. Some of them are rapists. Some of them are pedophiles. They were good. They were actually good actors and made good films. I'm not attesting to their morality. What I am saying is the slop that we are being served now, this abortion of a segment, Tony Dokapul's crying about Miami. This guy is Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, like in the tradition of those guys. Tony Dokapul is out there. If anyone had wrote what you wrote in that book, they would be like a terrorist. Like, that would be like not out of place in the backpack of like a terrorist. That's your argument. What do you even respond? Well, I guess terrorists read. It's good that they're reading, huh? Not blowing stuff up. What is the response to that? It's a cunty argument from someone without an argument. There are brilliant Zionists, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, who could make real great arguments. That guy, his argument to Ta-Nehisi Coates was not. He is chosen because he's this good-looking guy. And if Barry Weiss thinks Americans want it, because if Barry Weiss thinks Americans are like emotional, emotive, everyone's on a journey, and it's like a weird thing. And most people are trying to get, Barry grew up with money, she has money, and all her friends have money. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love the rich. Love the rich. But sometimes they forget that everyone is not always the star of their own movie. And everyone doesn't always respond to this like emotional heartstrings horseshit that you try to shove down their throat. So here's Tony Dokapul again, a phenomenal embarrassment, a total embarrassment. Tony Dokapul, everyone, friend of the show.
Because you only have one childhood, right? So
what the f-
Let me get a second here.
Where's Ice with the gun?
This is home.
Where's Ice with the gun? Where's Ice with the non-lethal gun to the face?
To help people understand why I have such a reaction.
Yeah, why? 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 I like Miami. What the fuck are you crying about?
Where I grew up.
So?
We didn't get a lot of sleep, so.
No, it's okay.
What?
My grandmother's here, my father, my mother.
We didn't get a lot.
My aunts and uncles.
Okay.
Cousins.
Yeah?
And it's where I would have spent all of my childhood, but we left.
Pause this for a minute. Not only should this man not be the evening news, I'm trying to think of the term for him, the host of the evening news. I'm sorry. Anchor. What'd you say?
Anchor?
Yeah, the anchor. Good job. Thank you. Not only should this man not be the anchor of the evening news, he should be put in a hospital. I mean, this man should be put in a hospital. This man's the anchor. He's going to have to report on war, death, famine, some of which he doesn't really care that much about. But this man cannot get through talking about Florida, where he grew up, without crying. He's not fit to be the anchor of CBS News. What is this? What kind of crap is this? This man should be in a, you know who I want? I want Rene Good's stepfather as the fucking anchor of CBS fucking news. I don't blame anyone. Back to you, Jim. I want Rene Good's stepfather, a man that could watch his stepdaughter take three to the face and go, I don't really blame anyone here. It's a difficult situation for all. That's why the boomers were best at the news, because they say what you want about the boomers, and I have. They didn't do this shit. Let's continue.
Because of my father, he got in some trouble with business. It's like, we laugh about it now,
right,
but he was a drug dealer.
He's a criminal. He was a drug dealer. My father was
a drug
dealer.
He went to jail. It's kind of a ha-ha thing that we say now, but the reason it's so emotional for me is because
Wait a minute. This is the anchor of the CBS Evening News? Whose dad's a drug dealer? What? It's a ha-ha thing to us now. My father sold drugs. Keep going.
Miami experience?
Mm-hmm.
So when I come back, I'm always like,
I think you had the full Miami experience. Your dad sold drugs.
I love it here, yeah.
But it changed the trajectory of your life. You may not be back here today had you stayed here in
people
the first
think,
place.
My,
you
people
never
are gonna
know.
Think this is so crazy. But like, this should have been my home for the whole stretch, right? Mm-hmm. So to have it and then to lose it, it just kind of rocks me. So I didn't expect to feel that, but whenever I'm here, it really does feel deeply like home. And I wish it had stayed home, you know? And I know that's how a lot of people here feel right now.
All right. You know, it should be very obvious that we have mentally unstable people. We have mentally unstable people who are bad actors. They're mentally unstable that are the anchor of the evening news in our country, the CBS Evening News. You have a man who's crying about his drug dealer father in Miami going, I wanted the full experience of my, I was cheated out of the experience of Miami. I was cheated. Unbelievable. It's so un-American. America's built, and it's not racial, but America's built in this Calvinist, Germanic, go on, get about your business shit. It's Germanic. It's not, it's Protestant. Even though there's a Catholic revival now, a lot of the, to give Tucker Carlson his due, and he goes off in some crazy directions, but I do actually really like him. And I do love him, even though he does say demons are biting him, and maybe they are. But I actually do really like him and enjoy him as a person. But he, that WASP aesthetic, it's a little dated. It's a little old school. We're not going to go back to that. And it's, I don't think it's exclusively racial, but the Catholic thing of like the European and the crying and the yelling at funerals and the dancing and the singing, that's not the American aesthetic. Is a very kind of, it's Germanic, industrialist, Protestant, kind of like take it on the chin thing. Like, it'd be a little stoic. And I'm an Irish Catholic. I mean, that's why I'm an entertainer. So, like, I get it. We're kind of the exception rather than the rule. And I know this is a high-level intelligence discussion, and many of you are, I don't know if able to follow this without accusing me of being some kind of Nazi. So I'm not. What I'm saying is this. This crying in Miami is so unbecoming and un-American. It's genuinely un-American. And he's not even crying for a goddamn reason. It's not like his wife got shot in the face three times. He's crying about his childhood. It's the opposite of America. It's the opposite of any kind of traditionally masculine, stoic type of character that the country was built on. And there can be negatives associated with that stuff too. But like, this is completely... actually offends my sensibilities as a person, truly, to see this privileged, rich, ne'er-do-well example of mediocrity trying to emotionally manipulate the country by crying about his drug dealer father in Miami? How dare you? How dare you, scum? How dare you, scum? And this... all engineered by Barry Weiss. If it was an 80s movie, the new hire at the company would be called into the office and the fat cat capitalist owner, might look like me, in a pinstripe suit would go, the guy would have a last name like Riggins or something. He'd be like, Riggins! And the guy would walk in and he'd go, this has been a complete embarrassment, a total embarrassment. And that's what the last few months of CBS News has been. It is a complete and total embarrassment. Get up Rene Good's stepfather one more time. He is the fucking anchor of this country, you pieces of shit. Get him up and let's hear the line. Let's hear the line from CBS News. Hold on, run it back. From CBS News, bring us our new anchor.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Good night, everybody.